Cause who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler, if you think old England's done?
I'm Robert Gillespie, and that's my stage name and my real name. So far as I remember, the character in that little clip in that one episode didn't have a name, but they wanted a little fantasy sequence of Charles Boyer, a very famous French actor, star, playing Napoleon, because he starred in a film about Napoleon. And so I wasn't a particular character. I was just meant to be Charles Boyer. So I was being a French actor. I was pretending to be the great French star in that movie. They wanted to recreate the scene in the movie just to slot in to the episode. So that's my first answer. How did I get cast in Dad's Army? Because of David Croft. The point is that David Croft is responsible for introducing me to situation comedy altogether. And he, if it wasn't for him, I've no idea whether I would ever have ended up doing situation comedy, which is what I'm best known for. And because he cast me, do you want to know about that? There was a series called Hugh and I with Hugh Lloyd and Teddy Scott. And it was always set in England, and they felt it had got a bit tired. So they decided to send Hugh and Terry abroad to foreign parts. And there was an episode set in Morocco, and they were looking for a desk sergeant, a policeman, to sit behind a desk and deal with these nutcases with Hugh and Terry especially, because he was way wonderfully over the top. And it was known, I mean, on my CV, that I could do a French accent, because I was actually born in France. I was 6 and a half or something when I came over here. And so I was hired to be a policeman in the Moroccan police by David. And that's how I was introduced to situation comedy. And the weird thing is that desk sergeant role led to a whole lot of other desk sergeants and plays like that, because normally I would never be cast as a policeman. I was too short. So, and that's how I got to know David. And then David began to feel that I could do slightly out of the ordinary things. He cast me for quite odd things, you know. And so that's how I ended up in Dad's Army. The reason I ended up being Charles Boyer in the Napoleon film was because they tried to get the original clip from Hollywood. They would have had to mortgage the entire BBC in order to, and they wanted whatever it was, 90 seconds. I don't know how long it lasted, but it was a tiny, tiny bit, and the BBC couldn't afford it. So that's when David thought of me. And so he said, can you do a French accent? Because I'd been a French policeman, a Moroccan policeman, so I could do a French accent. And in a certain light, in a certain angle, I could just about get away with looking like Napoleon, because my profile is quite beaky, you know, and quite, and of course I didn't have a beard and all that kind of stuff. And so, of course, it had to be done as cheaply as possible. So they just took a tiny bit of floor in one of the studios at Television Centre, and just put up a little set there with a bed and so on, and my lady wife, Josephine, and that was it. So it was, you know, tuppence halfpenny. The whole point was it cost tuppence halfpenny, and I cost tuppence halfpenny, so they could afford it and put it into the show, you see. That's the explanation for that. As far as I know, I have watched the film, the original, and as far as I know, they just pinched the dialogue And so it was very, very brief. And it was just enormous fun to do, is what I remember. Everybody was giggling away, you know. And so Josephine, everybody just had a ball. So, as I say, I wasn't a particular character. I was Charles Boyer. I was a famous actor. And I can't remember. I can't remember the credits for that particular show. It was the only Dad's Army I was ever in. And of course, it was completely separate from the rehearsal room sequences. You know, I was at no live rehearsals at all, and I was never on in the studio because I didn't have to be. So that was my only connection with Dad's Army. But of course, all I can say is we all had a ball doing it. You know, you're asking me, did I meet any of the other members of Dad's Army cast? The answer is no. And the point is, although most of them are extremely well known and were in and out of situation comedy for at the same time as I was, curiously enough, whereas I was, you know, I kept meeting the same people on shows for obvious reasons. In that case, in the Dad's Army case, I don't think I ever worked with any of the others at all. I may have worked with the odd guest artist, but I'd have to go through the list. I can't remember now because I haven't watched every episode. But the principal characters, I never worked with any other. And of course, I didn't work with them then because I was completely separate in the studio. So I never met them. But they, of course, they're absolutely wonderful, wonderful lot of actors. Favorite episode of Dad's Army? I have to be honest and say, I just remember the general. I think perhaps one of the an unforgettable line, I have to say, this is now you mention it, was when the Germans arrest them all, and they and I can't remember the exact line, but when Pike, I think, is about to blurt out who he is, and the German says, "Your name?" And he says, "Don't say your name, Pike." I can't remember the exact line. I should remember it, but it was that was one of the very funniest things, of course. Don't mention your name, Pike. So that was the essence of Dad's Army, I think. You know, I mean, sort of local parochial incompetence, which is brilliant. Incidentally, my father was in the Home Guard, and it was nothing like Dad's Army. It was all very serious maneuvers, and he was away sometimes 3 nights from home, and he, you know, he was rather a good shot. So, so they used him, they thought he might become a spy, a sniper if the enemy ever landed. So I had a very divided view of Dan's Army because, you know, my dad was in uniform. He would go out, he would patrol, he would do, and then there would be these, I remember there was a victory parade at the end of the war where they all came out. It was a big deal. And they had proper weapons. I mean, obviously old weapons, but they had proper weapons, and they knew how to shoot them and everything. So it's funny when you look back on something like that and find everybody making a joke of it. But I think the series had very, very little relation to the real Home Guard, I have to say. Well, any particular memories, as I think I've covered that, because it was, you know, they had a bit of corner of a studio, had a lot of fun, and it was done because they couldn't afford to pay for the clip of the real film. It was just too expensive. So that's my memory of it. I mean, it was just laughs and laughs and laughs, you know. I am still getting royalties for shows I did in the 1950s. And in some cases, I get more than I was originally paid, just because, you know, these equity says, you know, with inflation, this is worth blah, blah, blah. And so there are episodes I did for, you know, a kind of row of beans in the past. I get, you know, it goes into hundreds of pounds sometimes. And what's interesting about that is that over the years, episodes of even very favourite and well-loved series get dropped, but certain episodes are people's favourite episodes. And so I find, fortunately, just a few survive. I mean, there is one in Rising Damp with the gas man, which keeps being shown. So I get royalties for that quite regularly, because it's shown, you know, in the South Pacific and places, you know. So you get tuppence for that and so on, you know, and Australia and so on. You may know, you may not know, that I wrote the beginning of my life in the theatre story for my daughter, because I was really quite old when she was born and she didn't know. And it was called, Are You Going to Do That Little Jump? Well, it turns out there was so much to get in that we are very close to publishing part two of Are You Going to Do That Little Jump? So, of course, from our point of view, the designer's point of view, we're very close to having it complete. Obviously, quite soon, we shall want every bit of support we can get to push that in the title and so on and so on and so on. And the other thing we're doing is, again, this is my designer's idea, the book designer's idea, because he runs websites and creates websites as well, is that we're going to have a completely new website, which will include a very, very large range of stuff I've done, sitcom material, links to this, that, and the other. And we're going to try to keep it fresh, because one of the problems I find with actors' websites is that they put up everything they've done and then it goes dead. Nothing happens for years, nothing changes. They might put on the air another episode of something they've done. So our aim is to have a slot in which there will be ongoing stories refreshed every 8-9 days. There'll be something new for people to have a look at. So if you've got a circle of contacts, acquaintances, friends, etc., fans, I'd be very happy for you to put that information around. If you think old England done,